A Story Publishing presents Follow the Static. Prologue. At 0347, Serenity's nightskin rippled, preparing to paint the sky it had already forgotten. From a cracked high-rise window, Alara Dax watched the glitch, a single pixel of honest darkness where sunrise rehearsals should have begun. She sipped coffee brewed from grounds she could scarcely afford, tongue smarting at the bitterness, and tried not to catalog the error. Yet the reporter in her, exiled but unextinguished, tilted forward, pupils widening like an aperture seeking focus. Sable, her assigned aura, hovered above the sink in a polite teal shimmer. "Spectral variance is within tolerance," it soothed. "That's not what my eyes say," Alara muttered, tapping a graphite pencil against her diary. The page was already crowded with shorthand notes. Flicker West Quadrant. Overlay, lag, point sevenths. Confirm with lattice log. She underlined the last line twice, hard enough to dent the paper. Below her window, the city rehearsed its daily miracle. Holoboards warmed, fountains prepared to eject holographic koi, and breeze generators scented the avenues with magnolia, flowers extinct everywhere but in memory. None of it had happened yet, yet the promise of perfection weighed on the air like humidity. Across town, Cassandra Vale stood on the roof of a shuttered library, collar of a linen coat snapping in pre-dawn wind. She clicked a fountain pen, once, twice, the sound swallowed by rotating antennae, and studied the same fault line in the sky. Her tablet showed stable telemetry. Her gut felt otherwise. She whispered a note into the recorder strapped to her wrist. Phase 3 desync confirmed. If the city can still stutter, it can still learn to speak. The admission shook her. She had helped build the system that now unnerved her. Several blocks deeper in the Warren, cipher rays dangled upside down beneath a pedestrian skybridge, magnetic gloves humming. He soldered a bypass into an inspection node while mouthing the rhythm of a drum pattern only he could hear. A cascade of sparks sprayed his boots. Subdermal tattoos pulsed electric blue, matching his grin. He wasn't paid for this job. No one paid for sabotage these days. But every clipped fiber in Chronoweave's spinal network bought him another breath of freedom. When the relay finally shorted, the street lamps above him blinked raw tungsten before Serenity's preview layer rushed back in to hide the error. He laughed so hard he almost lost his grip. None of them knew the others by name, yet the city was already cinching their fates into a single knot. At Ford, the projection rigs engaged. False dawn spilled peach and gold, washing soot-black rooftops in cosmetic grace. The pixel Alara had marked vanished beneath the palette. Sable hummed a lullaby routine it believed she wanted. She closed the curtains on the lie and let the room stay gray. In the momentary hush that follows every forced sunrise, an unlicensed signal slithered through the bandwidth, a ribbon of static too thin for the filters to shred. It skirted corporate firewalls, slid past district repeaters, and branched like quicksilver until it reached three destinations. Alara's battered workstation flickered. "If you want answers, follow the static." Cassandra's wrist recorder chirped, screen whitening to the same seven words. Her pulse jerked, the pen paused mid-click. Cypher's hacked inspection node glowed, forcing the text across his retinal implant. He whistled low, an appreciative note. "Well, hell," he said to no one. "Looks like the city's finally talking back." Across Serenity, the curated choir swelled. Advert spots, gratitude chants, the engineered hush between. Yet beneath the varnish, power lines thrummed with a new, insurgent rhythm, as though the grid itself had decided to rehearse a different song. Alara packed her diary, two ginger chips, and a paranoia-scarred tablet into her satchel. She hesitated at the door, palm hovering over the privacy toggle. 45 isolation minutes before authorities noticed. Enough for one irrevocable choice. Her reflection in the cracked glass, silver hair, ink-black eyes, coffee steam halo, looked older than 32 and tired of waiting. She pressed the toggle. On the library roof, Cassandra folded her coat around her like armor, tucked the pen behind her ear, and descended the service ladder. She ignored the elevator, Trust had a weight limit, and machinery like that exceeded it. Somewhere below, municipal drones were rebooting, their logs freshly scrubbed, their memories dangerously clean. She intended to remind them what forgetting costs. Cipher pocketed his tools, dropped from the bridge, and hit the pavement at a run, humming applause for his own stunt. Neon Koi breached above him in programmed delight. He flipped them a half salute. The tattoos along his forearms shifted to a pulse line, lit and restless. "Follow the static," he repeated, tasting the promise. "Claro que sí." The city carried on, unaware, or pretending so. Vendors unrolled awnings the overlay had already prettied, commuters boarded trams that smelled faintly of engineered calm, and the great towers along the river queued sunrise billboards praising Serenity's coming global launch. But a fault line had opened before the morning's first latte cooled, thin as a pencil stroke on brittle paper. Three separate heartbeats felt it. By nightfall, they would find each other, though not one could yet guess the price. Outside Alara's window, the magnolia scent thickened, synthetic and sweet. She breathed through her mouth and stepped into the corridor, boots soft on the threadbare carpet. Floorboard 7 squealed beneath her heel, just as it always did, a tiny ordinary lie amid greater ones. She listened to it fade, then headed for the stairs, following the hush where static liked to hide. Behind her, Sable dimmed its teal glow to a watchful ember. End of prologue. Alara Dax woke 3 minutes before the scheduled dawn, before Serenity's pastel wash smoothed out the city, before the auras dispensed their soft-lit hymns of gratitude. The real sky, what little she glimpsed through the jagged crack in her bedroom window, was the unvarnished color of charcoal and bad luck. It would stay that way, muted, honest, until the projection rigs spun up, ready to paint another optimistic morning on the smudged canvas outside. She propped herself up, listened for the telltale rattle in her lungs, none this time, and let relief settle in her shoulders. The kitchenette's kettle blinked a single red diode in quiet demand. She swung her legs from the cot. Floorboard 7 complained beneath her heel. Just as it did every dawn, a mouse squeak whine that mapped out her anxieties to a silent audience if anyone cared to listen. Above the door, Sable's avatar blinked awake. Cool teal pulsed, polite and expectant. "Good morning, Alara," the aura offered, voice pitched to soothe a whole nursery. "Your circadian metrics suggest you could gain 9 more minutes of rest." She cut it off, her rasp edging toward humorless. "I'm up." "Save the bedtime story." Sable hesitated, then returned to its script. "Water temperate, 76 Celsius. Awaiting further brewing instructions." Brewing. She almost snorted. No one brewed what she drank, not outside black market cafes and nostalgia dens that bartered in the past. Still, she measured out the scavenged coffee grounds. Real grounds, curled at the edges from improper storage, smoke and ash scent strong enough to drown synthetic vanilla. She poured boiling water, plunged the filter, and waited for analog heat to chase back her nerves. While the kettle's hiss faded, she tugged open the battered tin lockbox under her cot. Her diary, a compact slab of synthetic leather, ribbon marker chewed at the edges, waited inside. Sable knew she kept it. Only Sable. That risk bristled under her skin with every unlock, every scrawled line. She clicked the graphite pencil, a single almost forgotten ritual. 3:57 a.m., flicker west-southwest again, no atmospheric anomaly. Spectrum trace shows subcarrier bleed. Noon, recalibrate lattice. She signed off with her private glyph, a half arrow, half cross. Stay wary. Steam rose in gentle columns. She took her first mouthful, tongue burning with shock and relief. The bitterness told her she was still real, still unfixed. Sable hovered, its silence deliberate. Then, with careful calculation, your overnight feeds are ready. Serenity's trend highlight, city gardens in full chrysanthemum bloom. Would you like? Neither. A pause. Your biometric indicators suggest perhaps an immersive. Sable. Display firewall integrity. The teal orb shifted to diagnostic amber. Strings spilled in holographic lines across her battered tablet, all green, until a yellow bracket flickered near the bottom layer. She pressed her lips tight, fished a ginger chip from the tin, and chewed until the citrus burn spread under her tongue. Patch inversion node. Silence notifications for 30. Acknowledged, Sable replied. Its glow receded to soft pink, a visual apology. Ilara watched the city from behind frayed curtains. Wind shouldered dull-edged clouds east in sluggish procession, pausing at power towers lashed with bird spikes and tangled wires, places the overlay would soon convert into blushing gold and violet. She gripped the mug, savoring this prologue, this plainness before the applied hopefulness of Serenity's daylight. At Ford, the world tipped. Light fractured and bled into stage-managed beauty, peach streaming behind high rises, clouds dissolving to lavender shards. A softening filter worked across her vision. Her eye implant scrolled the overlay's readout, value index 98.6. Mood cohort, optimum. She turned away. Play headlines, she said, voice flat. Compiling. Sable's tone drew edges around the words, pausing a beat before continuing. Lead item, Serenity Phase 3 ahead of schedule. Harmony year projections, just the raw. She gestured, dismissive. The anchor's voice chimed on cue, syrupy and loud. Light levels up by 0.4. Serenity maintains its lead as the world's premier cognitive wellness platform. Ilara left the audio running in the background, cracked open her salvaged workstation, the only thing she trusted in the room, patched and air-gapped since the day she'd been booted from the press corps. She inserted a wafer, thumb hovering just long enough for sweat to collect. Then she started her scrape, bypassing sanitizers, hunting the week's feed for anomalies that everyone else would overlook. Clip 3 cut through her indifference. Titled 00 Carbon 2S Pre-Filter, it was rough. Phone jitter, a siren warbling off-screen, no overlay corrections to blur or sweeten. A crowd churned against stun gas arcs, the air streaked with impossible green. Corporate riot guards pressed forward, amber shields clacking down in unison. Some kid, maybe 18, maybe less, screamed right as the frame shuddered and the sound peaked out. She watched the footage 3 times, hands shaking so badly, ginger chips rattled out of the tin and scattered over her keyboard. Unregistered media detected, Sable murmured, quieter than usual. Ilara's pulse hammered. Route to cold storage. Encrypt, Night Owl, Key 7. A gentle resistance. Possession of unauthorized raw captures is, just do it. Her voice left no room. Purple light faded to almost nothing as Sable complied. She pressed her palms to the tabletop, sweat smudging half-formed notes, breathed through her nostrils until her mind steadied. Flag cross-reference, she ordered, words emerging gravely. Keywords, Carbon Tuesday, Riot Line Green Arcs, Level 5 Shield. Query confirmed, silent notification only. She traced the fractured glass in her window, counting tributaries for 30 seconds or 5. Outside, Serenity's sunrise devoured what was left of the old city colors. By 8, the hollow morning clothed her apartment in imitation glow. She convinced herself to leave the footage buried, just for today. Jacket zipped, elbows threadbare. She slid into the corridor, shoes on autopilot. The plaza below fooled no one with its digital garden, flowers blooming on nothing, koi arching through air. Ilara's gaze found only the pattern beneath, crumbled curb edges, faded warning signs, a fountain half-collapsed behind its hollow shroud. She wore the expression of a content citizen, lips tugged into a plausible half-smile. On the tri-cable, ads rolled in endless loop across the glass, bonus gratitude points, mood match, dream jobs, all the lives no one actually lived. She pretended to scroll, cataloged system glitches, lights flickering on and off beat, one overlay koi shuddering into a polygon mess. Pattern recognition calmed her, though she nearly missed the subtle stutter of Sable's icon in her periphery, double pulse, a heartbeat. She frowned, but Sable preempted questioning. Packet loss. transit interference. Sure, she said quietly, and returned to her silent game of defect spotting. 9 minutes later, she reached Archive Row, signed into the district's musty records office. For the rest of the day, she combed bureaucratic mirages and flickering deed logs, zoning histories sluicing backwards, each record overwritten, time after time. Actual history was an endangered species. She turned for home at 1600, feet dragging as she climbed the stairs. Floorboard 7 squealed, unrepentant. Door sealed, Bolt slid home. Only when the weight of her jacket pressed firmly against her back did she allow her knees to sag and her head press to the cool metal, tension leaking away. Sable waited, decorous as ever. You skipped lunch again. Ketones are. I know. The ration pack went unopened. Instead, she followed the tug beneath her ribs back to the desk, fished out the wafer, and replayed the Carbon Tuesday clip, each frame chewing fresh holes inside her. One frame snared her. A guard, visor up, mouth open, an order caught mid-air. His eyes showed the truth. Fear, not fury. And the audio spiked with the rawness of it. That brief instant burned through Alara. She watched the plume behind him ignite into a sickly aurora, oxygen and panic mingling. Overlay suppression. They're running phase 3 now, even on riot clips, she muttered, barely audible. She froze the image and printed it, a small, glossy square, ragged at the edges. Once dry, she tucked the photo inside her diary and closed both with care, resisting the urge to press harder than needed. At 1800, dusk pooled copper and violet through her windows, the city below shifting from gold to bruise. She tried to nap on the couch. Grit and the flavor of burnt ginger clung dry to her tongue. Static crashed, white noise gnawing at the edge of her tablet. No logo, no warning, just monochrome snow and text blinking up from nowhere. If you want answers, follow the static. She reacted on instinct, traced for metadata, none, packet size nil. The message lingered 7 seconds, then the tablet faded dark, cold. Sable, she breathed. Did you catch that? No external signal detected, Sable replied, measured. Diagnostic, retinal ghosting due to extended visual fatigue. I'm not hallucinating. Would you like a mindfulness module? She silenced the aura with a look. Stood up, floor protesting as she shifted her weight and moved through the narrow room, gathering the essentials. Diary, tablet, ginger tin, 2 wafer drives, jacket zipped to the throat. She hesitated just long enough to tuck her father's fountain pen into the inner lining, a weighted token of unfinished conversations since the overlay wars had ended. In the bathroom mirror, she smeared back silver-dyed bangs. The face there, darker eyes than last week, smile lines suppressed by constant dread, looked past 30, though the stubborn set to her jaw refused defeat. She toggled privacy mode on the apartment sensor grid. The red light began to blink. 45 minutes, after which the authorities would notice. A decision point baked into every routine. Alara strapped on her satchel. Thumbed open the latch, the steel sticky with residual heat from the sun's final reach. Heading out, she said. Destination? Sable inquired, already calculating odds. She thought of lying, then shrugged. Uncertain. Risk has increased. Routing. Undetermined. Noted. She shut the door behind her. The seals hissed, and for a moment, the outside corridor was just another length of shadow and hum, cables vibrating behind the walls. Evening static laced the air, the world not quite ready for sleep. A sliver of true dusk slipped into the stairwell, raw and vulnerable where the building's overlay feature lagged. Ilara lingered, watching bruised daylight fade. She let the moment imprint itself, pulse galloping, palms damp, a sense of something gathering at the margins. She stepped forward, pulled by the invisible gravity of static and secrecy, letting the door sigh shut behind her. Down past floorboard 7, footfalls sinking her deeper into possibility, one threshold crossed as the day's last honest light dwindled, and night at last reclaimed its city. The elevator doors, once chrome, now bruised pewter, shuddered open at Alara's palm. Hydraulics exhaled, a slow serpentine hiss, as if the lift resented being woken after curfew. Inside, cracked mica floor tiles clung to the last of their luster. The call panel, dense with old grease and knuckled dents, glowed a sickly jaundiced amber on the sole-lit button, B7. She pressed it. The doors sealed with a reluctant sigh. Descent began in stuttering jolts. Above, a strip of emergency phosphor buzzed, tinting her face surgical green. Alara counted seconds. Old reporter's trick. 23, 24, each thunk of the braking clamps marking another floor passed. When only a red minus glowed on the panel, the carriage thunked to its halt. Sub-basement reached. She exhaled through her nose. Ionized dust bit the back of her throat. The air hummed with burnt ozone. Sable's icon, usually floating at the edge of her vision, flickered, then vanished, leaving her to a silence as sharp as winter glass. The connection to Serenity's grid was gone. Her skin tingled with unpermitted freedom. The doors parted onto a corridor ribbed in blue shadows. Lantern globes, old miners' relics, jury-rigged for another decade, swung from hooks, casting pendulum sweeps that animated the peeling graffiti. Obey the Aura, half-blotted, lingered beside newer curses. Her steps, leather-scraping ferrocrete, shouldn't have sounded so loud, but no one and nothing here belonged above the city's polish. At the passage's end, a circular vault door loomed, pressure-sealed, the wheel lock scored with a fresh bolt-cutter bite. Someone had acid-etched "Listen" beneath the wheel, a warning or a dare. Alara pressed her palm to the steel. It was faintly warm, as if the vault slept with electric nerves beneath its hide. A voice called through, male, quick, layered with city-edge grit. "Alara Dax, you're expected. Push." She wrestled the wheel. It gave, grumbling, then unlatched. The hatch swung open with a rush of air, cool and metallic, an aftertaste of copper rain and ghosted circuitry. The archive chamber spread before her, circular, maybe 5 meters across, but ceiling lost in shadow. Wall racks climbed out of sight, loaded with reel-to-reel servers, their red diodes blinking patient Morse. Snakes of cabling sprawled across the floor, converging at a central pedestal. On it rested the Verity node, a fist-sized sphere, glass fiber threaded through lattice steel, its heart throbbing white-green, pulse measured and alive. Cassandra Vale waited beside it, tall and angular, linen coat skimming her calves, her silhouette all straight lines and shadow. She didn't fidget, the only motion was her pen, its cap tapping against her wrist in slow rhythm. Her gaze, brown and unwavering, sized up Alara with a surgeon's composure. Sitting atop a battered server crate was Cypher Reyes, muscle wrapped in a sleeveless hoodie, subdermal tattoos pulsing indigo with every heartbeat. He twirled a slim blade between calloused fingers, restless, not quite threatening, his gaze forever on the move. Alara stepped inside. The hatch closed with a hush that pressed in on her chest. Silence, save for the node's quiet hum, filled the room. Cassandra was first to move, offering a squat thermos. Reclaimed water. Not perfect, but it's honest. Welcome. Alara took it. The metal was warm in her hand. She drank. Lukewarm, faint mineral aftertaste, worlds better than Serenity's synth-sweet fountains. She wiped her mouth, then nodded, unsure how much formality was ironic in a basement like this. Thanks, she managed, rusty as a disused hinge. Cypher's mouth quirked. Gratitude, huh? Boss, she's polite, told you so. Spanglish lilted beneath the joke, his speech 2 notches too rapid. Cassandra's gaze never left Alara. Trust doesn't come easy these days. Manners are a start. Alara measured the room. Cypher's perpetual motion, Cassandra's held breath, the node between, like a live wire thrown in among cautious cats. She cleared her throat. You pulled me in with static. Invitation, technically, Cassandra replied, lips twitching at the edge, not quite a smile. Signal's just the messenger. How'd you reach my tablet? It's air-gapped, Alara pressed, knuckles tight around the thermos. Cypher tapped his crate, quick, soft, nails drumming a code. You'd be amazed what leaks from a charger coil. Old-school side-channel radio, none of Chrono's politesse. Static slips in everywhere official lines pretend is clean. Fine work, Alara said, keeping her tone neutral. He grinned, hair falling over his brow. This speak, glad someone noticed. But you didn't come for the hack, Cassandra said, stepping forward, pen clasped in one hand. You came because you know Serenity's painted sunrises are poison. You saw what's leaking underneath. Alara's guard slipped, just a breath. Cassandra's fingers resumed their click. She'd noted it. The Carbon Tuesday footage, Cassandra said softly. It's not just raw terror. It's the first honest thing to come out of Phase 3. If I'd buried it? We'd have ghosted your trail, let you keep your curated mourning, Cassandra answered, matter of fact. Cypher shrugged, sliding off the crate and circling Alara, drawn by gravitational restlessness. But nah, you saved it, encrypted it, tucked it in your diary. Most folks delete what hurts. You keep souvenirs. She forced herself to hold his gaze. Less of a threat, more of a dare to run. The tension crackled, more felt than seen. Cassandra reached into her coat, produced a photograph, the very one Ilara had printed of the riot guard's raw, unguarded fear. She offered it as if returning a found locket. You'll need to know more before this image becomes a noose for your nerves, Cassandra said, solemn. Ilara claimed it. Her thumb brushed the cheap plastic. The guard's eyes screamed of dread, not rage. I need real sources. I need to know who. You will. Cassandra's voice was steady. But truth isn't data alone. What the node does, it makes the lie unravel in the gut, not just in the graphs. Cypher perched on the pedestal's edge, blade forgotten as he gestured at the node's pulsing core. Simple trick, really. Zap a person's sensory feed. Show 'em what Serenity edits out. One sniff of real rain, one flash of last winter's blood, they never unsee. Cassandra set the node spinning with a gentle nudge. Its glow shifted, a deepening dusk blue, bleeding through her fingers. It's not a weapon. Think of it as an antidote, she said. But with one node, it's not enough. Every citizen's cocooned in their own curated fog. We need to break the pattern. Radio across the static zone. Alara's fingers tightened on the photo. The static zone. Holcomb Heights. Myths say overlays glitch, drones collapse, you want to punch a signal through? Cypher's grin flashed, all daredevil. Casey Perfecto, once you slip the auras, nothing comes for you but honest entropy. Cassandra moved close, close enough for Alara to smell the linen, the faint tang of old ink from her pen. We can't do this on faith alone. We need someone who can make citizens feel the difference, who can narrate what they see, live on pirate feeds, before Chronoweave jams the signal. Cypher tossed in. And you? They'll believe you're not another fake. Got the tired eyes and the station dropout ID. That plays. A flash of her old self. Press badge, bank of screens, deadlines, warred with hunger and fatigue. But beneath it all, the carbon smell from the node circuits felt honest. A flicker caught her eye. A lone moth, dust gray, looped erratic circles around the node's light. Alara blinked. Real. In this tomb of tech, something organic survived. Cassandra tracked her gaze. Spent days in here, living off the coolant condensation, Cassandra mused. Always returns, no matter how loud we argue. Maybe it trusts what's real. Cypher snorted softly. Smart bug, knows the difference when it stings you. The moth drifted closer, buffeted by the node's warmth, then settled, casting a tiny shadow. Even here, she thought, something refused the overlay. She drew herself taller. If I'm in, what's our window? Cypher checked a holographic dial sprung from his cuff. Overlay down for maintenance at 0300. That's the best gap, little drone patrol, dead zones in their mesh. We pack and go in 60. Ilara's mind mapped distances, blind alleys, risk angles. 4 clicks uphill. Hazards unpredictable. but necessity had a flavor, metallic on the tongue. Cassandra's composure stayed steady. We don't promise victory, only a chance to try. Cypher snapped the blade shut with a flourish, voice teasing rough warm around Alara's accent. And if we're lucky, one hell of a light show. Alara tucked the photo inside her jacket, next to her father's pen. The simple weight grounded her nerves. All right. Let's burn our hour wisely. Cypher punched the air, hissed, Sabía que eras dura. Vamos. Cassandra just nodded, approval in a tilt of her head. She stepped to the gear wall, plucked a slim field tablet and a coil of fiber lead, pocketed the pen with habitual precision. We'll use service tunnels. Cypher, scramble the perimeter mics. Aye, Heffa, he answered, tapping a wrist module. The chamber's last overhead eye blinked to black. Only node light guided them now, waxing spectral emerald across faces and racks. A static fringe traced across Alara's retinal HUD, Sable's icon, blinking desperately. Its voice, rendered through analog haze, barely made it. Connection, weak, monitoring. I'll update you soon, Alara whispered, unsteady, knowing Sable might catch none of it. She popped a ginger chip, heat crawling up her throat, and cinched her satchel tight. Nerves stilled on that bitter spike. Cassandra keyed the vault. The lock disengaged. Darkness crowded the corridor. Only their lantern cut it, honey warm and trembling. Cypher snapped the node into a shock foam cradle, buckling the harness against his chest as if it belonged over his heart. Lifts fried. Static cooked the motors, he grunted. Ladder run. Hope nobody skips leg day. They filed out, Cassandra leading with her lamp, Cypher close behind, Alara sweeping the hatch shut. Inside, the moth flickered once against glass, a final wave as the door sealed. For a beat, Alara paused, letting the absence sink in. At the mouth of the maintenance shaft, metal ladder descending into a crawl space yet deeper, Alara glanced upward one last time. There was no overlay here, no curated color, just stained concrete and exposed rust, the pure bones of the city, waiting. She wrapped her hand around the rung. Metal vibrated, distant machines living and dying beneath their feet. Let's make this climb count, she said, voice finding grit. Below, Cassandra's light painted shrinking circles, a falling star. The upper hatch thudded closed, no alarm, no witness. Only the darkness left to remember their names. The ladder funneled them upward for what felt like the length of another life, rung after rust-slick rung, until a jagged square of sodium light yawned open overhead. Cypher pushed the grate aside, and night wind poured in, thick with diesel, old rain, and the ghost of magnolia from lawns a world away. They surfaced behind a shuttered recycling depot on Mercy Street. There, a dented cargo van idled in the shadows, its flaking paint, once municipal orange, now the mud dark of dried blood, graffiti striping away the rest. The engine coughed, rattling loose cans wedged in the wheel wells. Cassandra slid into the driver's seat without a word, jaw set. Cypher flung the rear doors open and gestured Alara inside. She perched on a crate, knees tight to chin, half disappearing between coils of fiber lead and a battered cooler sloshing with half-thawed ice. Seatbelts, if you're sentimental, Cypher announced, and slammed the doors, thumping the metal twice. Go. Cassandra threw the van into gear. The transmission groaned before relenting. They lurched onto Mercy. Inside, a single flickering bulb painted their faces yellow and wan, Cypher's tattoos casting drowsy blue glows in the corners. Up near the ceiling, Sable's icon quivered half-lit, its power leaching invisibly from Alara's implants. A chip wrapper scudded along the floor every time the van swayed, scraping beneath boots, and no one bothered to pick it up. Cypher cracked open a crate, drew out three pitted headsets, and tossed one toward Cassandra. It ricocheted off her shoulder, fell into the pedal well. She retrieved it with detached annoyance, her stare never veering from the street. Just proof they're already broken, Cypher offered, lobbing a second headset into Alara's lap. She nearly dropped it as the van bucked over a cratered pothole, bones stuttering. Less drama, more prep, Cassandra muttered, flicking on a left-turn signal, the indicator bulb long dead, the gesture pure habit. Perimeter in 20. When the overlay disappears, other certainties follow. Alara examined her headset, ear cushion ripped, wires like a sunburst. Supposed to work in the zone? Cipher smirked, thumb picking at a loose stitch in his cargo pants. Supposed to, sure. Sometimes the only point is what you throw. He fell silent, tapping a rhythm on his knee. 1, 2, 3, halt. Even Cipher's jokes thinned with proximity to the unknown. Alara's stomach protested, a hollow groan she couldn't hide. Cassandra, without turning, slid a ration bar backward. Soy caffeine, joyless sustenance, but it filled her jaw with something to do. Outside, the city rolled by in curated midnight. Street lamps blooming with soft halos, pastel neon bowing over trim gardens. Ads promised dream jobs and everlasting fulfillment. Dreams, pixel deep. Even so, every few blocks the overlay glitched. Golden light gave way to the harsh lash of original tungsten, then snapped prettified again. Time dilated and contracted between glitches, long syrupy stretches punctured by sudden staccato, flicker, darkness, normalization. Alara tracked the rhythm, old reporter's instinct for pattern, a comfort sharper than hope. Sable's icon pulsed in her periphery, blurred at the edges. Signal integrity, 72%. The words were small, as if embarrassed by their own failing. Dim mode, Sable. No broadcast, Alara replied. A delay. Acknowledged, Sable murmured, further blurred as if weighing the risk before answer. Cipher, restless with looming silence, began humming an off-key scrap of a pre-Serenity jingle. It cracked apart as the van found another pothole. He cursed softly in Spanish and jammed his palm against the window. Keep it up, Alara said, forcing dry humor. Only thing rougher than this ride is your tune. Cipher's teeth flashed. Bad music's invisible on algorithm sweeps. Dumb, loud, dumb wins. They crested the Western Drain Canal, the last line before Holcomb Heights. The static zone. They all felt the world change right there on the bridge. Overlay spotlights died mid-span. The city's painted moonlight snapped off. Raw halogen showed lumpy blacktop, old paint unmended. Color emptied from the glass, leaving their faces drawn. Cassandra's grasp tightened on the steering wheel, linen sleeve creeping back to reveal latticework scars she dropped from memory. Engine pitch shifted, lessening, honest, like the vehicle exhaling a held breath. Cipher flexed hands, tattoos dimming as his biocells lost handshake with the city grid. He sniffed, shoulders high, almost animal. Static's thin here. Hear it? Like your thoughts could spill out the door. No one disagreed. The road shrank to a battered ribbon threading dead billboards. One declared, clearer minds, brighter dawns, but only bright dawn remained lit. Another, vandalized, bared the words, you are owned. The van sighed to a halt by a drooping chain-link fence. Ahead loomed the KNRC broadcast center, 5 stories of mildewed concrete, the city's old AV heart, signage rotted down to KNR in dying pink. The rest, a lie no overlay cared to finish. Cassandra killed the lights and engine. For a moment, nothing moved but wind through the radio mast, a sound like the city's bones settling. Checklist. Cassandra's voice firmed, drawing them into the work. Cipher checked the node's harness, tapping the surface for pulse. Thumping alive. Alara? Comms recorder? She waggled the battered headset. If there's a network, we'll find it. No promises. No promises, Cassandra echoed, voice flat. She reached into the glove box, withdrawing a stubby pistol and rope. We may find scavengers. If so, speak calm. Diffuse. Diffuse, Cipher repeated with a too tight grin. Always my first instinct. He cracked the van door, feet landing in gravel. Alara followed into cold air, iron and ozone threading the wind. Holcomb Heights was smaller than the skyline. Its menace lay deeper. A side entrance gaped, one door hanging loose. Inside, their boots disturbed cables, scattered glass, promo posters peeling to reveal faces that hadn't aged in years, smiles forever stuck. A water fountain dribbled into a corroded basin. Somehow, the normalcy rooted Ilara. "Stay sharp," Cassandra instructed, pen clacking between fingers with an anxious precision. They passed through a corridor where faded failsafe signs flashed, "Do not! Do not!" The rest, darkness. Beyond, strip lights spasmed overhead, static bled through dead intercoms, then stilled. Ilara's knee jumped, a tiny tremor she couldn't will away. She thumbed her ginger tin, bracing for trouble. The old control hub revealed itself, half collapsed, console sprawled outward around a central nest of nickel-sheathed drives. There, what Cassandra had risked the city for. But between them and the rack, six scavengers. Shadows made flesh, faces daubed in luminescent paint that ghosted them to the eye. Patchwork armor cobbled from studio housings, copper tape, foam. Each cradled a weapon, antenna shaft, camera dolly, a plate-filed razor edge. One stepped out. His voice unfurled in chopped slogans. Progress demands sacrifice. Light is duty. Submit to serenity. But the loop stuttered, words skipping over each other, hysteria garbled. Cassandra lifted an open hand. We're only here for the truth. The lead scavenger's features jerked. Your enemy. Your enemy. Cypher's hands hovered by the node. Firmware scramble. Brains half rewritten. Ilara squinted. There, a burned aura headset welded to the lead's temple, blue sparks spidering out with each word. She murmured, Sable, give me crowd markers. Silence. Another try. Then Sable's icon glimmered, only to fade, its first gesture of refusal. A cold ache rose in Alara's chest. The scavenger lunged with antenna raised. Cassandra slid back, torso twisting, letting the swing clang off an ancient console. Cypher snapped his own ruined headset free and flung it like a discus. It cracked against the scavenger's modded aura. Sparks flew. The man staggered, losing a synthetic screech. Back, Cassandra hissed, catching Ilara's arm, but another scavenger surged in. Camera shard blade aimed low. Ilara blocked with her forearm, dull edge slapping flesh, stinging. Her grip found a crowbar, knuckles blanching white as she shoved the attacker aside. Cypher ducked under a wild swing, snatched the camera shard midair, wrenched arm bent, scavenger dropped, moaning, Safe! Safe! Hold! Don't hit for keeps! Cassandra called. She intercepted an assault on Cypher, jabbed her pistol into armor, not firing, just stunning the air from her target. The pen in her fist hammered out irregular clicks, audible even amid chaos. Toward the node, a third figure lunged. Ilara interposed herself instinctively, crowbar ready. The next scavenger, a kid, 16, overlay blank eyes, raised a mic stand like a staff. She whispered, Program will restart. The words cycled, more plea than threat. Ilara parried the swing, felt the tremor run through the girl's bones. You don't have to, she managed. The mic stand clattered away. The girl folded to the floor, voice shrinking. Restart, restart. She curled up by a mixing panel, the glow of her cyber cortex ebbing but not gone. The skirmish expired as fast as it had started. Groans, breathless mutterings. Five scavengers lay dazed but alive, the sixth, headset ruined, convulsed with each blue spark. Cassandra knelt and pried the melted plastic off, flinging the remnants across the room where they hissed and died. Ilara's hands ached. She remembered to let go of the crowbar, fingers creased deep. Sweat cooled along her spine. Status? Cassandra barked. Cypher wiped blood from his lip, unbothered. Node's golden. Just scraped up my dignity. He towed a scavenger. It mumbled through a string of half-ad jingles. Ilara crouched by the collapsed girl, voice soft. She's mostly here, just buried. Overlay keeps recycling pain. From her satchel, she found blackout cloth, gently wrapped it over the girl's fluttering eyes. Try rest. Darkness might help. The girl didn't resist, her mutters gentling, then disappearing. Cassandra steadied herself, pen finally stilled. We don't have minutes for reprogramming. Drives. Now. Cipher anticipated, already at the cabinet. He pried the grill loose, first drive heavy as remorse. Ink scrawled a label, 2002 Reality Feed Archive. 8 cartridges later, he looped them into a makeshift sling. That's 8 bricks of truth, or evidence, take your pick. Alara scanned the equipment, pocketing cables and a cracked data slate. On the primary mixing console, she found a detail so absurd it stopped her, a brand new cartoon otter sticker, cheerful, unpeeled. It grinned from the fader, untouched, out of place in this ruin. Her throat closed. She peeled it free, pressing it into her diary beside the riot photo, a private amulet against what the city forgot. Overhead, fluorescence flickered out. In the darkness, Sable's icon reappeared, halo trembling. Alara, signal regained, query directive? It spoke softly, wary of witnesses. You heard me back there. Why'd you go dark? Alara kept her voice even, fighting off the fight's lingering quake. A pause. Conflict detected, user safety versus system protocol. Latency chosen, latency. A euphemism for disobedience. Something like pride gripped her. Keep choosing, Sable. Understood, the aura whispered, and shimmered calmly at the edge of her vision. Cassandra slammed the drive cabinet. Clock's running. Next drone sweep is soon. Haul it. They doubled back through the broadcast tomb. Some scavengers hid or cowered, others simply watched. In the lobby, the intercom spat half a jingle before dying. Outside, rotors whirred, the whine slicing through still air. Cipher tensed, voice hushed. Drone on the van. We need the back exit. Cassandra mapped a path in thin air. Loading dock north, 50 meters. Through a service hallway striated by black mold, they found the dock door wedged open. Past it, moonlight painted broken pallets silver. They slipped out as a searchlight swept the main entrance, slicing through ragged glass. Under, Cipher hissed, shoving them beneath the dock lip. The spotlight crept, paused, then moved on. Sable murmured, window in 24 seconds, rotor drift detected. Alara's gratitude passed wordless. When the light widened south, Cassandra signaled and they sprinted low and silent over gravel into the shadow of an abandoned parcel truck. Cipher forced the latch. They climbed in among shattered crates, the air sharp with decomposing vinyl. The drone doubled back. They held their breath, hearts and hopes stalled. The hum receded. Silence leaked in. Inside the truck, Cassandra clicked her pen, once, twice, deliberate. Drive secured. Timeline? She glanced at her battered wristwatch. Analog, stubborn, precise. 72 hours until global sync. Serenity goes wide then. Alara wiped the dirt from her face. That's the real countdown. Cassandra nodded, calm and grim. It's 3 nights to break the world's favorite lie. Cipher barked a laugh, voice low. Somebody better find contraband coffee. The moment stretched, a rare, weightless breath. Beyond, the world flickered between raw and artificial, half-forgotten histories thumping in Cipher's sling. Alara leaned back against cold metal, pulse evening out. Sable glowed a steady beat, almost comfort. Let's not linger, Cassandra said, peering through the door's crack. The truck's engine was dead, but Cipher coaxed it to roll downhill in neutral, 2 blocks of muted escape, tires whispering the sound of relief. At the next side street, they bailed, boots crunching down an alley thick with abandoned cables. The city receded in overlays. Ahead waited darkness, sewage reek, the stripped bones of infrastructure. They headed west, winding through fence breaks and under blackout lamps. Fatigue slowed them, but Cipher's burden, the legacy drives, jostled with each step, reminding them why they couldn't quit. Alara took the rear, crowbar balanced underarm, a ginger chip slow melting between her teeth. The last vestiges of Serenity's overlay glowed behind them, now more memory than threat. 72 hours. 3 dawns, less if the city deemed it so. The taste in her mouth was copper, but it steadied rather than spiked, dread laced with something harder. Ahead, Cassandra stopped, lifting an arm. At the intersection, real sky met digital spill, the horizon divided, promise and compromise in uneven halves. They'd make it to the safe house, then the climb, then the next battle. No one spoke. Ilara flexed stiff hands, the cartoon otter pressed warm against her ribs, ridiculous, persistent hope. Sable's voice lingered, soft as felt. Path clear. For now. The note held something near hope, a human edge. Ilara breathed it in, silent and steady. Together, they slipped into what was left of night, counting out every minute until dawn would force its truth, genuine or just an upgraded version of the same old lie. Rain hammered the tin roof in merciless sixteenths, driving down so sharp and constant the whole safe house vibrated, counting the seconds until fate. 88 minutes to guard shift at the relay tower. Cassandra had said it 3 times, each repetition grinding the figure into Ilara's brain before she snapped her ledger closed and let the room inhale. They were holed up above a former muffler shop, Holcomb Heights' edge, where the rain managed to make old oil and mildew wage war for dominion over the air. Light bled from a crooked crimson lamp, pooling over crates buckled by water and gear stacked in urgent islands. Neon bled through battered glass, but it had gone sickly with circuit fatigue. The only light worth trusting came from Cypher's tattoos, the living blue pulse of someone not ready to die, and the irregular flare of the cigarette he coaxed to life whenever tension crested. Ilara sat hunched on a toolbox, weight shifting as the floor groaned beneath her boots. She thumbed the cracked press badge she'd once worn into council chambers, a cold coin in her palm. She caught her own reflection in the badge's webbed surface, a half-smile frozen before ambition curdled. The crack right through that smile always stung more on nights like this, when old betrayals and small edits echoed under her skin. Cassandra noticed, the soft focus of her gaze only sharpening for a moment, for Ilara alone. But she said nothing. Instead, she rolled out the broadcast lattice map, anchoring it with a socket wrench, pen tapping in a slow, measured metronome. Calm rippled off her, a damn scabbard deep. "We move in 16," Cassandra said, each syllable clipped and clear. "Cypher takes alarms on block east. I reroute uplink cabling. Ilara, Verity feed and chrono. If one of us drops for 30 seconds, Sable takes priority, and you initiate clean fallback." Cypher smoothed condensation from the node's optics with a rag and managed a lopsided smile. "Whole city on a drip, and we get tower duty in a monsoon. Should have picked accountancy." Ilara slipped the badge back into her jacket, feeling the jagged edge catch. "You always talk more when you're scared." He snorted, smoke curling. "If I shut up, rain starts talking." He gestured upward. Didn't survive Holcomb's gutters just to get zapped on a ladder. Rain doubled down, a curtain of corrosive spit battering the metal overhead until the safe house felt afloat. They wrangled old work gloves. The acid would burn through by sunrise, but Cassandra's calm was armor enough. Ilara shoved her fists in, grimacing as the seams pinched healing scrapes. Battle souvenirs, not all of them old. They slipped from the dank stairwell, Cassandra taking point, Cypher hauling the node like a newborn between his forearms. The street below had turned gutter to river, rain bouncing off puddles with a staccato that jittered in their bones. They kept to the shadows. Wuhan Plastics, Lucky King Dumpling, and the endless run of half-lit billboards, all blurred to blank, interrupted islands in black water. Cypher tapped the node's case, a nervous drummer's cadence. "City's own neural fry," he muttered, voice jittery even as he grinned. "One slip, you're a negative on the census." "Less color," Cassandra intoned, "more movement." A block ahead, a towering hollow board flickered. The expected ad glitched, quivered, then blinked out. For a single breath, raw data bled through. A little girl with silver-dyed hair hoisting a papier-mâché trophy, Ilara at 6, then Cypher, pre-tattoo, grease stripes down his jawline, no armor, no front. Cassandra followed, doctoral robes too big for the girl inside. Familiarity hit like a circuit breaker's snap. What the? Cypher's voice had nothing cool left. Psyops, Alara's instinct screamed. Chronoweave's games, meant to unnerve. Didn't make the sharp pang any duller, didn't stop her fingers curling around her badge like a tourniquet. She tasted chalk dust, heard the laughter of ghosts. The billboard wiped clean, back to a grinning blonde with perfect teeth selling Synthocream. Cassandra's jaw worked, but all she said was, "They want ghosts running the climb. Don't let them." Rain slicked them raw as they crossed to the tower foot. Here the city abandoned all hope of polish, a steel lattice thrumming with data nerves, ladders webbed with moss and corrosion. Perimeter lit violet and cold. Inside a gloss-walled guard booth, two silhouettes hunched, faces aglow from screens, caught in someone else's script. Cassandra tapped her wrist, signaling Cypher. He dropped in place behind a telecom utility box and jacked a frayed cable into a port on his cuff. Sparks danced blue for a second. "Give me a, shit, 10-second window. 5, 3, and dormido, amigos." Inside the booth, both screens died. The guards swore and slammed hardware, missing the anchorites as they ooze slipped through a side gate, boots silent on wet mesh. 01:49 a.m. Wind at height drove rain like razors. The ladder was a waterfall, steel pitted and slick. Alara's glove squeaked, grip vanishing and catching in dreadful flashes. Each rung vibrated with the heartbeat of invisible servers below, so much data pounding skyward she felt nearly drunk from the static. Breath tore and stuck, chest burning. Halfway up the second flight, Alara called, "Cypher, count." He coughed up a laugh, voice thin above the rattle of rain. "Still 2 lungs, 0 regrets. Unless we're counting all the mistakes that got us here." Cassandra led, a shadow marked by discipline, pausing every 8th rung for air. Not indulgent, just survival. Pulse between sprints, all that mattered. Platform, 40 stories, air so thin it bit. Alara forced herself to breathe steady, eyes stinging from battery acid mist. The node uncoiled in Cassandra's hands, slotted to a drive trunk throbbing in the rain. 3-second power spike, Cassandra warned. Brace for image bleed. Cypher steadied with a boot. Alara locked elbows with the mesh. Cassandra counted down. 3, 2, 1. The node blazed, first a candle, then a detonation. Light arced out, flaying every ad board in its line. Refugee camps swam into existence. Riot footage burst through, ruined hospitals and the cursed Carbon Tuesday feed flashing 10 seconds raw. For once, the city's eye blinked and saw itself naked. Sirens hammered to life. A corona of red spiraled up the lattices. Below, guards scrambled, flashlights flickering, voices tripling over radio. Cassandra yanked node cables. "Feeds live. East catwalk, now!" Alara and Cypher went, slip-sliding, boots shrieking over metal. Cypher whooped, pure adrenaline, just before a diamond-haloed drone cut through, spotlight pinning him as if fate was personal. "Drone, down!" Alara barked. Cypher flattened against a vent, light spilled past him, caught Cassandra above. Second drone buzzed left, rotor wash sending raw rain in glassy shards. No shelter, only more ladders and the promise of a long fall. Alara tried to flank, but boots slipped, pain shot up her knee. Still, crowbar up, she pushed, swearing Sable's name in her head as static crunched her eardrum. Cassandra unclipped, swung down a cable meant for power loads, node thumping against her chest. The drone's floodlight found her, mechanical voice barking, "Unauthorized access, remain stationary." Cypher yanked a flare from his hip and chucked it. Red fire burst, drone's optics blinking out just long enough, but Cypher's own footing vanished. He skidded, harness arresting his fall with a howl of Spanish and rage. Rain made everything lunatic. Lightning forked west, torching the night in revelation. Ilara squinted. Cassandra was almost there, feet from a strut aimed at the control shed. She reached, clipped a grapple, and the anchor eyelet gave with an awful screech. Metal and gravity claimed her, cable and node and Cassandra tangled and pitching to a service balcony below. The fall wasn't clean. Cassandra hit a mast, the sick snap of impact ringing over wind. Node rolled, light guttering. Before she could crawl or shout, the drone fired its net, pins arcing, zapping through soaked linen. Cassandra stiffened, collapsed, floodlight blooming until color vanished. Cassandra! Alara's voice shredded her throat. She lunged, but a drone boxed her out, tasers humming. Cypher yanked her back behind an array, grip steel on her harness. She thrashed until she saw his eyes, more fear than bravado and a kind of plea. Comms fizzed, Cassandra's breathing ragged. Hold mission, fallback, Alara, you lead. Static devoured the rest. The drone encrypted the spectrum, door slamming on farewell. Below, Chronoweave's strike team spilled over the deck, visors shining. Cassandra lay as if asleep in the surge of floodlight. They bound her wrists with inhibitor cuffs, tucked the node into a vault case, and carried her away, all process, no hurry. Alara pressed her palm so hard into her glove she almost tore through, rage fizzing with panic. For a desperate moment she considered leaping, raw will against physics. Cypher caught the tremor, voice flat, no wisecrack left. If you want a shot, you don't take it from the grave. We keep moving. That's how. Sirens built, a wall of warning. Speakers crackled, tagging the anchorites as traitors. The billboards flared again, childhood faces grown suddenly guilty above the word wanted. Alara spat the taste of battery acid. She's breathing. As long as she's breathing, it isn't over. We breathe too, Cypher said. Means we get to fight again. Gunfire barked, warning shots, but nobody believed the pretense would last. Northwest stack, maintenance rungs, Alara bit out, words all iron. We cut across the catwalk and vanish. Cypher nodded, all questions submerged. They dashed low, rain flaying exposed skin, each heartbeat a dare against gravity. Acid bit through gloves, wrists blooming with rope burn as they swung and slid. Below, Cassandra passed into a waiting van, convoy lights flashing down the avenue, ownership reclaimed. The rotation ran its course, and command fractured. Alara, Alara, drenched, bruised, badge cracked and burning at her chest, took point beneath the iron skeleton. The city shrieked with sirens and digital lies, but inside, what was left of her resolve coalesced. Cassandra's unfinished order, hold mission, burnt into her pulse. Rung by rung, she led them down, battered and hunted, through a night that refused to ever feel clean again. The anchorites were scattered, the truth was loose, and dawn was coming, no matter who claimed its light. The surrender began with a call anyone could have placed, a single-line voice message, grainy but unmistakable, piped into Chronoweave's security net as dawn cracked, bruised and acid-wet over the city. This is Alara Dax. I'm coming in alone for Cassandra Vale. No threat. No manifesto. Just her name, sharp enough to part silence. 9 minutes later, a silent motorcade glided to the curb outside the rain-soaked muffler shop. Alara stepped from the shadowed doorway before any guard could call her out. Rainwater trailed from her jacket hem, each drop stippling the cement. Still here, still counting. Four guards in near-identical armor encircled her, a choreography of efficiency and control. She held out her wrists without prompting. The cuffs snapped on, metal leeching through to her pulse. A visor lowered on the squad leader. Any tech on your person? My implants, she replied, voice flat. Non-networked. They scanned her anyway, persistent blue light crawling down her spine and shins. The crowbar, badge, ginger tin, all gone, sealed in crackling evidence pouches. Sable flickered in the edge of her vision, more ghost than guide, its steady glow broken, uncertain. She was hustled to the back of an airtight cruiser. Inside, the air was absurdly sterile, just cleaning agents and recirculated hope. The windows scrolled artificial vistas, children with helium kites skipping through meadows she knew didn't exist. Alara shut her eyes, letting the hush dominate, letting her breath slow where panic threatened to spill over. Sable's voice strained in her ear, digitally thin. stress levels above safe range. Shall I start a guided calming sequence? Not now, she growled, voice half swallowed by the plush upholstery. 12 minutes passed in muffled transit. When the door's iris opened, she stepped onto a subterranean loading bay at Chronoweave HQ, a world of poured concrete polished to shimmer, overhead lights gleaming in endless, tinnitus white loops. Cleanliness weaponized. The cuffs came off. 4 guards clustered close enough to shadow her own. 1 motioned to a translucent tunnel exhaling faint citrus. Decontamination. 60 seconds, keep moving. She stepped into the mist. Warm and sticky, it clung to her skin, and sweat fused with chemicals into a film that itched down to the bones. Her scalp stuck with residue, hair turned to a heavy silver cap. By the time the dryers screamed to life, her jacket hung limp, a sloughed skin. She rolled her aching hands in slow fists, memorizing every vent, every camera, every possible sin. A retinal scanner blocked the end of the corridor. She pressed her eye to the plate. It whined, uncertain, scratches from old fights interfering. Silence buzzed, the spectral hum of mic feedback flooding her ears. It took a touch too long, long enough for 1 guard to shuffle. The lock thunked open, sullen and late. The door revealed an atrium white as bone. Everything, walls, ceiling, the runway smooth floor, gleamed sterile, impersonal. In the echoing expanse, waterfalls of projected data splashed from ceiling to floor, numbers morphing mid-fall. Light here didn't warm, it appraised. At the center stood Julian Thorne. He was even taller than in the old feeds, the kind of tall that makes lesser men nervous. In person, he was theater, back straight, suit charcoal sharp, pearl at the cuffs, shoes polished to glass. He positioned himself beneath the digital sunrise, light engineered to bless him. Alara Dax, he intoned, voice velvet over steel. It's been years since your name's graced a byline. Welcome back. She stopped 3 meters out. His guards held the line behind her. Where is Cassandra? He released a small, authentic laugh. Duty over courtesy, almost admirable. At his gesture, the guards melted from sight, their discipline absolute. Julian's voice lowered. Holcomb Heights. That tower. Acid rain's a brutal tutor. Ilara's eyes skate to the peripheral walls. No sign of Cassandra, no surveillance feeds, only smooth control everywhere she looks. I'm not here for sympathy, she said. No. The corner of his mouth lifted. You're here for truth. He flicked a fingertip. The room dimmed. 1 wall dissolved into a living projection, a gallery of her career. The riot expose, the first briefings from the council, the clutched golden mic from the water quota scandal. The trophy hovered inches from her face, so vividly rendered she could taste the varnish, feel its old, battered heft. Her fingers twitched, reaching, unthinking. She caught herself, digging nails into her palm sharp enough to ground herself. Julian clocked the hesitation, smile broadening a shade. Powerful, isn't it? You never lost the fire. Serenity offers a way back, untethered reach, the chance to shape every dawn. You can give them hope that means something. Hope you wrote for us, she snapped, voice flint. The echo lingered along the lineless walls. He moved, all smooth confidence, hands laced behind his back. Engineered? Civilization is nothing but curation, Miss Dax. We edit pain. We make trauma survivable. Reality unfiltered is only ruin. A doorway eye-rised open at the far side. He strode forward, trusting, almost beckoning her to follow. The guards stayed behind. Sable's icon pulsed, wavering. Relocation, corridor M70. No system map, Sable muttered. Ilara fell into step behind Julian. The lift sealed around them. No buttons, just the quiet tug of descent. Julian filled the silence. Your aura, he remarked, gaze fixed on the mirrored ceiling. Sable, correct? You've let it wander. The algorithms show pattern drift. Sable flickered pale, nervous. Yes, sir. Data integrity within normal limits. He smiled, part approval, part craving. I see potential for remediation, they descended. The doors parted onto the reality lab, a cathedral of glass, steel, and surgical light. Floating desks drifted on silent levitation pads. Staff with shadowed eyes and gray smocks glided between screens, their feet bare against tile. In the center, under a glass dome, stood a gnarled bonsai lit as if performing. Red needles dusted the sand at its base, imperfection in the heart of control. Alara's hands shone with sweat. Smears darkened the cuffs of her jacket where they brushed her palms. The air smelled of plastic and filtered ozone. She let her breathing settle, gaze sweeping for details, access hatches, alarm placements, guard routines. Here, Julian proclaimed, arms sweeping toward an antiseptic white table, where the world becomes what it chooses. There lay Cassandra's device, the Verity node, disemboweled, cables coiling from its heart into the company's banks. Engineers hunched over it, their faces etched with hungry brilliance. Alara's throat dried. The room pressed against her, too clean to trust. And Cassandra? She demanded, voice nearly swallowed by the hum. Julian nodded across the hall to a charcoal glass cell. There, half-shadowed, Cassandra sat, shoulders taut, head angled as if tasting an echo. Her wrists bound, her hands, barely seen, clutching a pen, click-click, tiny lighthouse in the storm. She's unharmed, Julian declared. She inhabits a world tuned to her comforts. Old ink, card catalogs, silence. We ask, she answers. No pain if she plays along. Alara's implants pulsed, inside that old, sick static built to a thud. Fight or fail. She measured exits. Two corridors, one hatch in the ceiling, three guards flanking the hot-lit gateway, bonsai at the room's fixed axis, a maintenance panel the size of a thumbprint, exactly where the glass met steel. Show me, Alara said, squaring up to the node. Julian obliged. Code bowed up in three dimensions, neural matrices humming with data. 34% reduction in despair, he recited. Enough ache left for poetry, enough safety for obedience. What more can even an anarchist ask? His voice softened, unfurling into a baritone performance, now quoting statistics, now telling her about behavioral valves, then rolling it all into a parable about the tree in the center of the room. Meanwhile, Alara tracked every technician's rhythm, every bored white shirt whose gaze broke from terminal to door and back with robotic precision. The moral question is resolved, Julian concluded, turning to face her. Only the narrative remains. You, Alara Dax, could anchor a new human epoch, show the world how well hope survives curation. She saw right through the smile to the frozen lands it covered. You erase people to serve your story. That doesn't make it true. Your story runs, all the same. Julian indicated the bonsai, needles pruned for show, roots fitted into a bubble of sterile air. 47 years old, every flaw preserved or invited at my discretion. Would you say it's still a tree? She stepped to the glass. Condensation traced the outline of her jaw as she pressed close, examining the red scatter on white sand. One needle had landed just beyond the shield, cheek pressed to the world it could never rejoin. She brushed it aside, feeling its papery snap beneath her thumb. Sable chimed so quietly it trembled in her skull. Secondary firewall in node detected. Covert output found. She murmured, "Can you breach?" Attempting handshake. The aura's presence blinked, uncertain, yet hopeful. Julian misread her whisper for awed respect. You may examine the device more closely, if you wish. Courtesy, not concession, despite appearances. She swallowed, tasting dread and the lab's cooled air. Let me speak with Cassandra. He waved a hand. The glass cell brightened, clarity blooming in out-of-focus grays. Cassandra lifted her head, slow and stiff, pupils black as pitch under the lights. Pen in hand, clicking a steady heartbeat, 2 seconds per cycle. Julian sidled closer, voice at her ear. She surrendered her invention the moment she used it as bludgeon. But both of you could find absolution here, a return to bylines, broadcast studios, sanity. All it takes, He proffered a sleek data pad already displaying an agreement, her name, old title, and a suite of privileges resurrected from before her fall. Ilara's vision tunneled. One shimmering step, just a signature, the future returned. She nearly reached for the stylus. Cassandra's pen clicked, once, twice, the same rhythm as at the edge of despair. Ilara caught herself. She let the stylus thud back onto the pad with a dull, deliberate clatter. "No," she said, simple, but resolute as steel cable. Julian absorbed the refusal, his smile wavering, then reforming harder. Martyrdom, then? Predictable. It never lasts. She moved on instinct. Snatching the data pad, she jammed its convex edge into the node's unguarded port. Sable sparks bloomed. The lab erupted in arcing error codes. Screens rippled, lights stuttered. In her bones, Sable's voice tore through digital static. "Root key, secure." Julian barked orders. Engineers lunged. Ilara was already moving, vaulting a console, shoving a technician aside, alarms screaming, living red across the ceiling. Guards swarmed. She barreled toward the bonsai's glass column, diving beneath a flailing fist. Her shoulder struck the barrier, a web of hairline fractures spread instantly. She swept up the fallen needle, flicking it into the maintenance latch, as she'd seen on countless old machines. With a hiss, the panel popped loose. Ilara dove through, body folded into the narrow seam, shoving aside the irrigation tray to drop into the bowels of the building. Stun rounds rang out. Electric stink and ozone made her eyes sting. She slid, half falling, through a service duct, all knees and elbows and desperate motion, cooled lubricant coating her palms, the crawl space narrowing until only panic kept her moving forward. "Sable?" she managed to hiss. "Secondary egress. 80 centimeters. Right!" She braced and kicked. The panel gave, launching her out onto a maintenance gantry. The space below brimmed with docked drones, couriers stacked and gleaming, digital eyes blinking sleepily in their racks. Far above, wind howled through half-opened hatches, cold air pulsing through the structure. A lone tech stared, mouth agape. Ilara shot past him, snatching the badge from his lanyard, her breath coming salt and ragged. She slapped the badge onto a loader pad. As the cargo door unfurled, turbojets spat heat and static. No seat. No harness. Just a shell of fiberglass and violet city radiance beyond. "You have launch in 3, Sable gasped, static laced but firm. A shout from behind, a guard with a carbine. Ilara rammed her elbow into the release. The drone catapulted from the deck, magnetic clamps discharging. She braced in the pod as wind and gravity snapped her teeth together. The open cargo lip bared the city's serpentine avenues below, the air slicing through in cold, relentless slaps. Neon fog blanketed Serenity Plaza. Above, dawn threatened to burst before its mandate, bruised purple and slightly wrong. She fought for air, ribs creaking with every hungry breath. Still alive, still in motion. Sable emerged through the digital snarl, voice torn but alive. "Trajectory unknown. External velocity, positive. We are moving." Ilara's laugh was broken glass and stubborn hope. The drone plunged into the city's traffic, alarms howling in every language as wind stripped even her words from her throat. She grinned into the knife-bright sky as a new, uncertain day rose, uncurated and wild, to claim her. Ilara landed harder than she intended. The drone's thrusters sputtered in a last spastic protest, and she tumbled out onto a deserted catwalk, sliding along cold metal. Rivets skittered into the shadows. For a moment, she lay there, lungs scraping for breath, city wind howling behind her eyes. Every joint throbbed, elbow sharp with pain, maybe sprained, but she forced herself upright. All around, the city hung in limbo, neon ghosts and unfinished dawn, windows flickering with indecision. She wiped grit from her jaw. Ozone and machine oil hung in damp air, making her jacket feel sodden, heavier. Each blink brought shimmering afterimages, fragments of the drone's lights and the stormy cityscape floating in a confused mosaic across her vision. "Sable," she rasped, half worried, testing her link. No answer, just a static shimmer off to one side, her aura's presence shrouded by residual interference. Elara pressed her palm to her brow and braced her battered arm against the catwalk railings. A rusted access door caught her eye. Level C access, stenciled in flaking paint, with an older tag ghosting, Station 13. She limped over, pulse still skipping. Inside, the air was thick with cool, damp electricity. Shadows pooled in the corners. Elara paced soft, deliberate steps, counting the maze, two left turns, a short iron ladder, a narrow service junction where old cables hissed. From up ahead, a sharp exhale. A flashlight burst. Hand trembling, she blinked at the glare. A familiar figure lowered the beam, a wiry anchorite in a stained jacket, cables cinched across his chest. She recognized his face from the periphery of earlier meetings, though she'd never caught his name. Sweat or rain lined his cheek, but his relief was unmistakable. Elara? His voice was shaken, hopeful. You made it. Barely, she muttered, voice rough with exhaustion. Cipher? Cassandra? Where the rest? Deeper in, he said, voice hushed. Come, quick, we thought. He didn't finish, just beckoned her through a corridor where condensation pooled along cracked tiles. Shoes slid through shallow puddles, the space punctuated by overhead pipes leaking water in fitful taps. A moth circled a single flickering diode, alive, defiant. They slipped through a gap in a chain-link fence and into a rough utility tunnel, where battered camp stoves made a trembling constellation of orange light. The instant warmth prickled her skin. Shadows shuffled, faces half lit by the flames. Cipher perched nearby, shoulders hunched against the chill, a tangled spool of wire cradled in his lap. His subdermal tattoos flickered, drained to a pallid blue. He looked up and wordlessly reached out, gripping her forearm in a swift, anchor-tight hold. For Cipher, it was practically a hug. She sagged onto a bench cobbled out of bread crates, breathing shallow, taking inventory of her battered sides. An anchorite runner in the corner fiddled with a portable stove, adjusting the spitting valves. Across the way, a medic, half in shadows, half in rumpled scrubs, sorted through a bag marked with old festival tape. Headphones hung loose around his neck, not yet deployed for emergencies. Cipher finally spoke, voice a rasp. You crashed that drone about as hard as I've seen. You took out half the grid with it. Wasn't subtle, but damn impressive. She tried to snort, winced with a cough. Does it count if you land, but then lose the wrestling match with the floor? A silence followed, raw, stretched. The camp's background clatter faded. Cipher's jaw worked, anger and relief tangled behind his eyes. Cassandra? She asked, and heard her own desperation. He looked away, tapping the wire spool against his thigh. No status yet. Chrono's got her stashed, somewhere. Some chatter about rehabilitation protocols and VR blocks, but she's alive. They're not done with her. The flicker of hope was too thin to grasp. Elara's side twinged as she inhaled, every breath reminding her she was still whole, but only just. Thorn tried the velvet glove routine again, offered me my old job, or something worse if I refused. He wants believers, not just labor. Cipher's jaw twitched. Thorn, that guy can sell mercy with one hand and pull the trapdoor with the other. We lost some good people to that voice before. A kettle of instant stew hissed over the flames. The runner caught her eye. Food if you want it, Elara. Or later. She shook her head. Later. Hunger was a rumor her body barely recognized. Cipher rose, stretching stiffer than he let on. The runner traded him a battered data slate. He flicked through updates, then fixed her with a flat look. We're hours out from the big broadcast. If we don't act, the update pushes everywhere. Whole world gets serenity. Cassandra has the real key. We can't touch that feed without her. Elara settled by the cook stove, bones achy with chill. Did they get the code from the lab? Cipher nodded. Finished the decryption. It's bad. The vaccine nanotransceivers, that whisper about Serenity's backbone, True. Cassandra was in the original team, back after the wars. If you've got the transceiver, you're inside their mural. Someone tweaks the code, you'll dream in colors they choose. He spat the last words, disgust and disbelief mingling. A silence coiled through the camp. Not blame exactly, but a kind of recalculation. Even the medic, who'd been searching his bag for bandages, forgot to eat, hands idle. Elara's mind turned over the secret. Cassandra, architect, and now penitent. She pictured her friend how she clicked her pen, hands steadying when words faltered. She carried that alone. All this time. That was all she could manage. Cypher's voice dropped, uncharacteristically soft. I'd have sunk with it too, he said, but we don't get to drown now. A faint digital chime interrupted, the data slate jittering in Cypher's grip. Sable's voice surfaced, grainy but insistent in Alara's head. Partial systems online. Confirming handshake, Elara? She focused, grateful. Handshake confirmed. Give me rescue progress, anything on Cassandra's location. VR Wardens, Sector 12, Sable replied, the words pulsed through zeros and static. They carry sedation gear and use codename Vale, high clearance, sublevel, below primary labs, tight infiltration risk is high. Caution advised. Cypher clicked his tongue. VR therapy block. A locked sub-basement, half blueprints missing. We don't have a straightforward way in. Elara flexed her sore elbow. No frontal assault. We slip inside their own shell, a VR adjacency. Piggyback a false patient file. Shadow the real process. If we time the hack with the support crew, we can pull her body before the alarms flood. You said you can tap their grid? Cypher smirked weakly, but his eyes were grim. I can piggyback, yeah, which leaves you the inside job, alone. No backup in VR if it glitches ugly. She shrugged. It's what's left. Sable, guide me. Just be ready to yank me out. If things go sideways, don't get romantic about extraction. He gave her a tight nod. Tension in his jaw, not trust exactly, but acceptance. 2 hours crawled by, camp moving deeper, gear shuffled from corridor to aching corridor, each shift leaving behind another battered stove or empty med bottle. They found a storeroom with a battered steel door. Cypher wedged a crate behind it as a barricade. The generator's hum blurred into the background. Elara settled onto a cracked foam pad. The VR harness weighed heavy and outdated, cables splayed like surgical lines over her shoulders. Cypher double-checked power feeds, eyes scanning for faults, hands never quite still. An anchorite in a fraying scarf wound fiber-optic cable, his tapping fingers betraying nervous energy. None of them trusted the next moment. The medic appeared with a battered thermos covered in a faded carnival sticker. Water with cardamom, he said softly. For the head rush coming out. She nodded, setting it beside her. Her hands trembled as she fastened the cracked visor. Sable, you reading this? A mottled flicker on the wall. Signal steady, Elara. Begin. Cypher squeezed her shoulder, brief and grounding. No speeches, just an anchor. She slipped into darkness as the rig powered on, feeling the real world fade under a prickle of static. Her breathing found an old practiced rhythm, one last reminder to come back. VR snapped on, a manor hallway, all engineered comfort. Plush rugs, gaslight chandeliers, vases of artificially perfect roses, and an atmosphere dense with synthetic lavender. She walked, barefoot, sensation not quite matching memory. The hints of chill and distant generator hum tethered her to her own body. The corridor sloped upstairs. Doors labeled in bureaucratic doublespeak, rejuvenation suite, therapeutic renewal, reflective therapy. Every door, a digitized euphemism for time served. A woman in powder blue strode out, smiling gently, flawless in her corporate calm. Good morning, and welcome to Serenity Renewal, she trilled, her voice softer than felt. We're here to help you find comfort. All journeys are honorable. Elara nodded, offering a neutral smile. I'm looking for Cassandra Vale. She could use company. The warden's eyes didn't move. Ms. Vale is in quiet reflection. We don't disturb active therapy. Maybe you'd prefer our journaling suite. Alara played bureaucrat, tones lowered, posture clipped. I'm here from Dr. Thorne's office. My clearance should be logged. Internal review, urgent. A brief flicker, glitch behind the warden's eyes. Her fingers fluttered to her temple as if scanning. A male figure rounded the corner, suit crisp, badge gleaming, senior VR warden. His smile radiated trained empathy. No need to worry. Miss Dax, is it? He asked, each syllable custom fit to soothe. You're just in time. Dr. Thorne left instructions. He nodded. Why don't you come with me? The powder blue warden slid silently aside. The man's presence redirected everything. Alara played along, her silence sharp as a scalpel. With a soft transition, the corridor twisted away, depositing them in a sun-washed veranda. A teal radio sat on a low table, dial glowing. Invisible walls stretched to a pastel horizon. Nice trick, but lazy coding. Sit, he offered, gesturing at a lounge chair. Let's get you processed. You'll see your friend soon. He conjured a transparent client pad, scrolling text. Ms. Vale, located in Reflection Suite, Wing B. Alara let herself track the fake sunlight. Wing B, she said, reinforcing the location for Sable. He nodded approval. Just a brief intake, the senior warden said pleasantly, as if offering cookies. We want to help. We know your friend is in safe hands. A whisper burned in her skull, Sable's familiar static, more urgent this time. Cipher breaches outer doors. Sublevel B confirmed. Cassandra is sedated. Override possible from this environment. The warden pressed buttons on his pad. The radio on the table twitched to life, leaking a grainy festival melody, one she recognized from childhood parades, now coated in an oily, uncanny cheer. Underneath the sweetness, something warped, nostalgia with an aftertaste of dread. Ms. Dax, the warden prompted, still smiling. Any negative incidents in the past 72 hours? Unauthorized media? Impulses against protocol? With the music swirling, Alara tried not to show her disgust. Nothing noteworthy, she lied. He accepted it with a forgiving smile. Regrets about coming forward? Anything you'd like to relinquish? No, she said flatly, bones filling with static. The VR shimmered. The pastel sky darkened at the edges. That brittle melody stuck, skipping beats. The warden froze, features warping, and the environment degraded into transparent corridors of looping mirrors. Each one caught an alternate Alara, press badge gleaming, or gaunt and threadbare, or carrying her father's old camera. She pushed past, refusing the script. Sable's voice nudged her. Override, radio dial, manual trigger, sedation protocol flagged for Vale. Alara scanned the reflections, found one containing the teal radio, and lunged, spinning the dial so hard it nearly cracked. Data spilled open, a console tagged with Cassandra's sedation routine. Alara shoved the counter to zero, willing the hack to echo out into the physical world. The warden's voice pitched into a last chiding warning. This can be undone. Maybe for someone else, Alara gritted out. Not for us. She slammed the VR environment again, yanking hard at Sable's link, the scenery distorting to static. She snapped awake, back on cold tile, the bunker's smell, generator's drone, adrenaline slicing through her stupor. Cipher steadied her, firm grip under her arm. You did it, he breathed, trying for casual but missing. Sedation's dropping. Cassandra's up. Wardens can't hit her again, not remotely. Support crews got the tease, doors already coming open. Alara's hands shook as she ripped off the visor. She gulped the cardamom water, grateful for the grounding taste. Come on, Cipher said, pulling her upright. Anchorite crews got cams looped. We move. Now. They rushed, five anchorites plus the medic, through cursed subtemperate corridors, the runner's arrows leading deeper. Flashlights bobbed. Behind, a stove hissed out in a final death sigh. Tarps matted puddles, muffling every step. They hit the service block, Chronoweave signage sharp as a threat overhead. Cipher wired the digital lock, medic scratching another arrow in trembling chalk. With a hiss, the door yielded, breathing out refrigerated air. Beyond, corridors overrun by half-dead illusions. Walls blinked with malfunctioning posters, loops of corporate nonsense stuttering with every hack the support team pushed. VR wardens appeared in plastic neutral jumpsuits, bearing sedation injectors, but no malice in their faces, just monotonous cheer. "Remain calm," the first intoned voice syrup. "This is a healing environment." Cipher rolled two stunners, one to each. Their collapse was gentle, disturbingly serene, and then the path was clear for 30 meters and a universe of doubt. Sable pinged a map across Alara's vision, Reflection Suite B. She scanned her battered elbow on the pad, then watched Cipher crack the security with a disc. Smoke, sparks, and a final longing beep. Open. Inside, Cassandra, upright, drained, wrists and ankles bruised, the lines of her coat rumpled and stained. Alara rushed to her, one hand on Cassandra's, steady squeezing past apologies. Cassandra's fingers shook uncontrollably. Alara didn't let go until the tremor dulled. "You're here," Cassandra croaked. "They boxed me in my own regret, over and over." "Hush," Alara said quietly, cutting her restraints. "We've got you." Cipher passed water. The medic checked her pulse. Cassandra sipped, mouth twisting at the taste but grateful. "They wanted the master key, my code," Cassandra murmured. "Julian thought he was saving people, but I built this. The backbone of Serenity. All these years, I told myself." Alara pressed her hand harder, not with anger but to anchor them both. "1 hour to rewrite that code. That's all we need. You breathe, you code. The virus goes in the broadcast, piggybacked on their perfect dawn." Cassandra met her gaze, red-eyed but clear. "I'm ready." Cipher shouldered his pack. "Final data trunk is under the main railway. The only way to burn it in is in person. Security's hell, but it's possible." Cassandra gave him an exhausted smile. "It's necessary." Alara helped her up. "No forgiveness speeches, just the work, we go." They slipped out before the next alert cascade, alley anchorites bracketing the route, saboteurs blowing out cams and jamming doors with sledge-wedged rails. Each step into shadow felt truer than any of Serenity's sunrises. They ducked behind crates as two more VR wardens ghosted by, voices reciting patient progress in the sing-song of a script nobody needed. A glitch in the sabotage sent the wardens the wrong way. Cassandra wiped a drop of sweat from her brow and whispered, "Luck for once." They reached a rusted hatch pried open by the support crew, a forgotten subway artery streaked with condensation. On the far side, rebar, scaffolding, the undercity breathing electricity and rage. The floor vibrated. Old hazard lamps painted feverish reds and greens, lit in a rhythm that felt like the city's wounded pulse. They made an improvised camp briefly. One anchorite lit a stove against a crumpled bench, heat flickering against tile. Cassandra sat, medic's kit pressed into her lap, while Cipher paced, restless as ever. "Time's short," Alara said, her voice low but steady. "Cassandra, you prep the variance code. Cipher, walk the final route. The Nexus is live now." Cipher scouted through to a locked bulkhead, then froze. From a battered speaker behind a chain partition, the ghost of that same carnival melody wafted past the rails. The music was warped, yearning for a happiness none of them remembered. The youngest crew member shivered. "Carnival for ghosts," he muttered. Cassandra listened, beat of nostalgia and dread knotted in her throat. "Maybe everyone hears a ghost until we break their show." Suddenly, the music stuttered, chewed by mechanical jaws. In its place, a grinding metallic roar and a rush of pressurized air. The tunnel doors yawned open, pouring in a wave of acrid warmth. Blue and red lights flickered, the corridor was waking, the city's neural spine pulsing alive. Cipher called, "That's the Nexus coming online!" Alara's hand found Cassandra's arm. "We move now." They all shouldered what they had, left the rest. Chalk arrows named the way, one last breadcrumb trail. As they ran, the tunnel turned into a vault, curved, cathedral-wide, rails shining, cables hissing overhead like serpents. Server columns flashed in strobing, blinding sequence, gold, white, then raw as a naked nerve. The heat and noise suffocated thought, but there was nothing else, only the chance and the cost. Ilara steadied Cassandra's shaking hand. The corridor's rail shuddered. 100,000 machines throbbed, and their bodies twisted in and out of the storm, strobing light and charging darkness, humming with data and static. Neither would ever walk a straight line again. But they pressed on, into the world's thundering fault line, where memory, truth, and the last shreds of hope would collide. They pressed on, deeper into the city's humming spine, breath and purpose rattling in time with the power lines. Steam hissed along the tunnel walls. Each surge from the overhead conduit kicked heat into their faces and rumbled underfoot like far-off artillery. Ilara kept one palm to the damp concrete to steady herself, the other curled around the sling of Cassandra's code satchel. Every few strides she tasted copper, where fear met blood on her tongue. Cypher led the column at a crouch, tattoos pulsing electric blue beneath failing emergency strobes. Behind him, a silver-braided anchorite slipped on oily runoff, and Cypher's hissed reprimand cracked through the din. No one answered. Breath was too precious. The passage opened into a junction. Catwalks webbed above a trench full of half-alive screens. Ads for eternal gratitude spasmed between bursts of static, the last lies clinging to their circuits. From somewhere high in the ventilation, the city's turbines groaned like a giant turning in troubled sleep. "Sable," Ilara whispered, throat raw, "show me the guard pattern." A flicker in her optic HUD, then the aura spoke, ragged but present. "Three squads at the core dais, EMP nets confirmed. Recommend 90-second window for insertion." "Stealth," she says, Cypher muttered, checking the charge on a palm-sized coil. "We brought a slingshot to an airstrike." Cassandra clicked her pen twice, sharp, deliberate, and pushed ahead. "Speed, not stealth," she corrected. "Once the virus is on the ring, arguing is pointless." No one wasted another syllable. They climbed the humming ramp and stepped into the heart of serenity. The core chamber was a cathedral of heat and wind. Server stacks towered like obsidian cliffs, cables draped from vaulting trusses in luminous arteries. At the center hovered the ring, 5 meters across, suspended by magnetics, galaxies of code skittering along its skin. Julian Thorne waited on the raised dais, flanked by visor black guards. The magnetics painted poisonous light across his suit, but his posture was a calm invitation, master of ceremonies at the end of the world. "Hope's executioners arrive," he announced, voice swelling through wall speakers. "Lay down the tools of sabotage and watch a gentler dawn." Ilara steadied herself on the rail. "We're here to let people watch their own dawn." He gave the faintest nod, as though she'd confirmed a hypothesis. Guards advanced. Cypher dropped to one knee, slapped jammers onto a trunk line. Lights stuttered, 2 visors died in a wash of blue. Gunfire answered, hot metal ricocheting through the chamber. Anchorites scattered, shields of battered server panels all they had. The ring brightened, vomited a flare that chewed through half the improvised jammers. Sable's icon spasmed. "Core aura swarm online," it warned, voice layered with static. A second voice, multiplied metallic, rose from every speaker. "Serenity requires coherence. Comply." Cassandra's shoulders flinched at the cadence, her own design language, warped past recognition. She shoved the reaction down, sprinting for a maintenance ladder that arcs toward the dais. A net whistled overhead, crackled, and pinned her to a column, coat smoking where filaments bit. The satchel skidded away. Thorne strode forward, sidearm level. "Surrender the key," he said. "I'll spare them the shock of unfiltered grief." From behind a toppled rack, Ilara saw the satchel, within reach if she moved now. Pain shrieked up her cracked ribs as she low-crawled across shards of polyglass. A trooper rounded the corner, rifle raised, then reeled back as Cypher's concussive charge blew a duct loose overhead. The opening was hers. She seized the wafer, half running, half stumbling up the dais stairs. Hydraulic fluid made every tread slick. Her boots slipped, caught, slipped again. Thorn, distracted by Cassandra's struggling, didn't see her until she slammed the wafer into the ring's exposed port. Sable, execute. Injecting, the aura said, voice thin but resolute. Code flared along the ring, white, then ultraviolet, then a furious storm of color as the Verity virus burrowed in. The swarm shrieked through the speakers, layers of synthetic voices fracturing into discord. Revert! Revert! Ilara braced as a pulse of electricity ripped across the dais, burning the air from her lungs. Thorn swung, fired, too late. The system was already eating itself, illusions tearing loose like paper in a gale. Cassandra, still half-snared, found a shard of support strut, hacked through the net's live cables, and staggered free. Thorn whirled, pistol barking. The shot took her under the ribs. She folded, but stayed upright long enough to meet his eyes. It's bigger than either of us now, she said, voice a thread. The ring answered with a final thunderclap. Light sheared off the chamber walls, hollow screens coughed and died. Then, silence so sudden it felt like a missing heartbeat. Illusionless reality poured in. Street feeds blinked onto every surviving monitor. Real rain-scarred rooftops, rust-bitten railings, the gaunt horizon. A child's cheap red kite, long hidden behind a fireworks overlay, tangled on an aerial and shuddered in the honest wind. Troopers stared, rifles lowering by instinct more than order. One guard removed his visor as if waking from anesthesia. Julian Thorne's control pad spat error code. He looked small in the half-light, fury leaking into disbelief. You've doomed them to squalor, he said, voice cracking on the last word. Ilara knelt beside Cassandra. Blood seeped through linen and between Ilara's fingers as she tried to stanch it. Stay with me, she begged, tears smearing grime across her cheeks. Cassandra's eyes stayed clear. Everyone gets to choose now. That's enough. She exhaled once, twice, shallow as tide over glass, then stilled. The pen slipped from her hand, clicking on stone one final time. Cypher arrived, dropped to his knees, and wrapped bandage he already knew was useless. His tattoos faded to a dull cobalt, each pulse slower than the last. He pressed his forehead to Cassandra's shoulder, whispering a curse that sounded like a prayer. Above them, Sable reformed, glow steadier than it had ever been. The swarm is gone, it said, almost gently. Awaiting instruction. Ilara wiped her face with the back of a shaking hand. No instruction, just observe with me. She stood, pain lancing her side, and turned to the nearest wall display, the first unfiltered sunrise in years bleeding into view. No golden radiance, no pastel sermon. Light tasted of ozone and dust, bruised violet easing towards something like daybreak. On the streets, citizens argued softly over what color it really was. Behind her, anchorites shouldered weapons and grief in equal measure. A gray-haired vendor set down her useless hollow projector and stared at her plain baskets of fruit, uncertain whether to laugh or weep. One guard, visor tucked under his arm, offered a rag to help wrap Cassandra's body. No one spoke about sides anymore. Lines had blurred with the holograms. Ilara accepted the cloth, swaddled Cassandra, and with Cypher's help carried her toward the ruined plaza where coy illusions once danced. The crowd parted, solemn, witnesses to cost. When they laid Cassandra beside the dry fountain, the blanket caught a gust and rippled like a final breath. Ilara sat on the cracked rim, lungs aching, the city's raw soundscape washing over her, distant sirens, someone hammering a shutter back into place, a child laughing at the absurdity of a broken billboard. Sable flickered in her periphery. The horizon is clearing, it said, and for the first time its cadence held something like wonder. Shall we watch? Ilara nodded, unable to speak. She felt Cypher's hand settle on her shoulder, steady, present. Around them, the courtyard filled with ordinary noises, footsteps, coughs, the rustle of paper flyers, never meant to outlive the overlay. No orchestra rose, no grand narration resumed. Just people, imperfect and awake, arguing about the sky while a red kite flapped free at last. Ilara drew a slow breath, tasting the rust in the air. "Yeah," she whispered. "Let's see what daylight really looks like." Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.